Residential Tenancies Amendment Act 2019. Tenant liable for damage. If tenants or their guests damage a rental property as a result of careless behaviour, the tenant will be liable for the costs of the damage up to a maximum of 4 weeks' rent or the landlord's insurance excess, whichever is lower. A tenant will still be fully liable for the cost of the damage where it is intentional or where the tenant's act or omission that caused the damage constitutes an imprisonable offence. The tenant will also be liable if the damage is caused by their guest or someone they are responsible for in these circumstances. Insurance statement. Landlords now need to provide a statement in any new tenancy agreement about whether the property is insured and if so, what the excess amount is for any relevant insurance policies. The statement must also inform the tenant that copies of these policies are available on request. Contamination of the premises. A landlord can test for methamphetamine, methyl P in rental properties while tenants are living there. They must provide 48 hours notice to tenants before entering the property. Landlords have to tell a tenant they are testing for methamphetamine contamination and share the test results in writing with the tenant within 7 days of receiving them. The Act allows for regulations to be made that will prescribe the acceptable level for meth contamination processes for testing, including what to test and decontamination of rental properties. Once regulations are in place, if contamination is established above the prescribed inhabitable level as set out in regulations, the landlord will be able to give 7 days' notice to end the tenancy. If the contamination was not caused by the breach, the tenant may give 2 days' notice. If the contamination was not caused by the breach, by their breach. If the contamination was not a result of a breach by the tenant, then the rent may be stopped. The premises will not be treated as uninhabitable and neither party will give these shorter termination notices, but may instead apply to the tribunal for termination if only part of the premises is contaminated above the prescribed uninhabitable level and it was not a result of a breach by either the landlord or the tenant, and this part of the premises is located away or physically closed off from the rest of the premises in a way that's likely to prevent the spread of contamination to the rest of the property, and the rest of the property can still reasonably be used. The landlords will not be able to knowingly rent premises that are contaminated above the prescribed level as set out in regulations without decontamination in accordance with the regulations. They'll also be liable for a financial penalty up to $4,000 if they do so. Unlawful residential premises. Under the Residential Tenancies Act, landlords must comply with all legal requirements related to buildings and health and safety that apply to the premises. They must also ensure that the premises can be legally lived in at the start of the tenancy. The Act has amended the definition of residential premises so that regardless of whether premises can be legally lived in, they will be considered residential premises under the Residential Tenancies Act if they are lived in or intended to be lived in. This amendment gives the Tenancy Tribunal full justification over cases concerning premises that are unlawful for residential purposes. This also means that tenants living unlawful premises will be protected by the minimum requirements in the Residential Tenancies Act, such as landlord responsibilities for complying with the building, health and safety laws, cleanliness, maintenance and repairs, smoke alarms, insulation, bond lodgement, rent increase notices and notice periods ending a tenancy. Tenancy services will be able to enforce the Act against landlords who breach it, regardless of whether the premises are lawful for living in or not. In cases that are unlawful residential premises, the tribunal can now order the landlord to repay the tenant all or some of the rent depending on the circumstances in the matter. That the tenant is not liable for rent arrears, compensation or damages unless it would be unjust not to make the tenant liable. The landlord to make the premises unlawful and comply with the relevant the landlord to make the premises lawful and comply with the relevant legislation of obligations such as fire safety requirements in the Buildings Act 2004 within a specified time frame. Exemplary damages of up to $4,000, a financial penalty payable to the tenant for failing to comply with this work order. The tenancy is terminated. Any other order in favour of the tenant that may currently do any other favour the tenant may currently do under the Residential Tenancies Act. The tenant will be able to give 2 days notice to end the tenancy in unlawful residential premises if the premises were unlawful at the start of the tenancy and are still unlawful. Both the tenant and the landlord can apply to the tribunal for an order terminating a tenancy on the ground that the premises are unlawful. Residential Tenancies Acts Reforms. Summary of the proposed changes. Current rent setting and increases. No rules around rental bidding. Rent can be increased every 6 months. The proposed. Landlords and agents cannot seek rental bids. This includes advertising rental properties with no rental price or organising a rental auction. Rent can be increased every 12 months. An unaccepted offer from an applicant is acceptable. Privacy and access to justice. Tenancy Tribunal can make an order prohibiting the publication of the report or part of the proceedings before it, but there's a lack of clarity about when this can apply. The proposed changes make it clearer that the party can apply for their identifying details to be removed from the Tenancy Tribunal decisions before publication. Introduce a new default position that identified details will be removed if the party applies for this and they have been wholly or successful in enforcing their rights or defending a claim against them. Assignment. Tenants can request to assign a fixed term tenancy and landlords must not decline unreasonably. However, a fixed term tenancy agreements can prohibit assignment. Proposed changes. All assignment requests must be considered and landlords must not decline unreasonably. Current. Providing information. Landlords can change fees on agreement to assignment, subletting or ending a tenancy, break lease fees. Landlords are required to charge reasonable fees but do not have to disclose the fees to the tenant. Landlords will have an obligation under the Healthy Homes Standards to keep various records and provide them on request to the regulator. Proposed. Landlords must provide tenants with a breakdown of any fees charged on assignment, subletting or ending a tenancy, break lease fees. This will give the tenants an opportunity to consider if the fees are reasonable. Landlords will have an obligation to provide records relating to Healthy Home Standards on request to the tenants. Current. Enforcement of the Residential Tenancies Act. RTA has no infringement offences. Penalty levels for experienced damages and criminal offence static since 2006. Regulator MBIE enters into voluntary agreements for parties to comply with the RTA obligations. No ability for regulator MBIE to issue improvement notices. Proposed new infringement offence regime for straightforward breaches of the RTA. Penalty levels for exemplary damages and criminal offences increased by 50% to 80%. Regulator MBIE continues to be able to enter into voluntary agreements for parties to comply with the RTA obligations. Enforceable undertakings will carry a penalty if obligation not met. Regulator MBIE can issue an improvement notice to correct a breach of the RTA. These can carry penalties if not complied with. A new class of civil penalties for the most serious breaches of the RTA. Tenancy Tribunal. This is current. The tribunal can hear current can hear cases and make awards up to 50,000. The regulator, MBIE, has to make separate applications for breaches by the same party across multiple properties. Proposed, Tenancy Tribunal can hear cases and make awards up to 100,000. Regulator MBIE can take a single application to the tribunal to cover multiple breaches across multiple properties. Residential Tenancies Act reforms. Summary of proposed changes. Current. Periodic tenancy agreements can be ended by the landlord for any reason without requirement to tell a tenant why. Proposed. Periodic tenancy agreements can only be ended by the landlord for one of the following reasons, which will be listed in the RTA. The landlord intends to make the property available for sale within 90 days of the tenant leaving the property. If the property was acquired for a business use or other than residential accommodation and termination is required for the purposes of the business, the landlord intends to carry out extensive alterations or redevelopment of the property and it would be impractical for the tenant to live there during that process. The landlord wants to change the use of the premises. The premises are to be demolished. The landlord is not the owner of the property and the landlord's interest ends. If the landlord has issued a tenant 3 notices for separate antisocial acts in a 90-day period and applies to the tenancy tribunal to end the tenancy, if the landlord has given notice that the tenant has been at least 5 days late with their rent payment on 3 separate occasions within a 90-day period, and applies to the tenancy tribunal to end the tenancy. Reasons specific to public housing. Current. Fixed term tenancy agreements convert to periodic tenancies unless a landlord or tenant gives notice for any reason 21 to 90 days before the term ends, or the party agree to extend or renew the fixed term tenancy. Proposed. Fixed term tenancy agreements convert to periodic tenancies unless a landlord gives notice using the reasons listed in the RTA for periodic tenancies. A tenant gives notice for any reason at least 28 days before the end of the tenancy. The parties agree to extend, renew or end the fixed term tenancy. Current. Notice days are 42 days to the end a periodic tenancy where the landlord or their family member requires the property to live in or the property is needed for an employee and this is in the tenancy agreement. Proposed. Notice periods are 63 days. If using this reason, the landlord or their family member must require the property to live in for at least 90 days. Current. Notice period is 42 days to end a periodic tenancy where the property has been sold with the requirement of the owner for vacant possession. Proposed. Notice period is 90 days and there are a wider specific range of grounds for notice. Installing fixtures. Current. Tenants must get landlord's consent and landlords cannot unreasonably withhold consent. Proposed. Tenants must request permission to install a minor fitting and landlords can only decline for specified reasons. Tenants must pay for the installation costs. Landlords can place reasonable conditions about how the minor fitting is installed. Tenants must remove minor fittings and remediate the property when the tenancy ends. Remediate if the landlord does not agree with the fittings staying. Example of minor fittings: visual fire alarms and doorbells where they have low impacts, securing furniture to baby proof or protect against earthquake risk, installing a baby gate, installing dishwashers or washing machines, curtains. A landlord can decline a request for a minor fitting when there is not low risk for installation and removal. Remediation back to similar condition at the end of the tenancy is not reasonably possible. It will disturb hazardous materials. It will pose health and safety risk that cannot be managed. It will require legal consents It will compromise with the landlord's existing obligations. It will compromise the structural integrity, waterproofing, or fundamental safety character of the building. It will have unreasonable impacts on third parties. Residential Tenancy Act Reforms, Frequently Asked Questions, November 2019. Overview. Why is the government doing this reform? The reform of the Residential Tenancies Act will modernise New Zealand's rental laws and align them with present-day realities of renting in New Zealand. It aims to promote good faith relationships in the renting environment and ensure there are appropriate protections in place for both tenants and landlords. These reforms reflect that more New Zealanders are living in rental accommodation and for longer periods of time. The RTA governs the relationship between the estimated 609,000 households in the rental market and their landlords. What is the problem with the RTA as it is? The RTA came into force over 30 years ago to govern a rental market with different characteristics than what we have today. Since the RTA came into force, home ownership rates have declined and the proportion of households living in rental market has increased. More people, including families, older people, are renting for longer or for life. Reforming the RTA is an opportunity to consider whether the law that governs the rental market continues to be fair in a proportionate way to address problems that tenants and landlords may experience with non-stable tenure. What evidence is there of a problem? The rate of home ownership in New Zealand has dropped from a peak of 73.5% to in 1991 to 64.5% of households in 2018. The proportion of households that are renting has increased from 23% in 1991 to 32% in 2019. Since the 2001 census, the largest falls in home ownerships were those in their 30s and 40s. In 2003, 43% of people aged 30 to 39 owned their own home, down from 56% in 2001. And for those in their 40s, 60.8% owned their own home in 2003, down from 71% in 2001. This suggests that people are renting for a longer proportion of their lives. Maori and Pacific people are more likely to rent. At the time of the 2013 census, 56.9% of Maori and 66.9% of Pacific people were living in rental homes. This compares to the total population figure of 36.3%. In 1986, around 25% of the population rented their properties, and 26% of all children in New Zealand lived in a property that was rented. In 2019, renting has become a way of life for a greater proportion of New Zealanders, with an estimated 32% of households renting. In 2013, 43% of all children were living in rental homes. The 2018 General Social Survey indicated that 30% of renters have been in their house for less than a year, compared to 8% of those in owner-occupied homes. The survey found that 25% of movements in the rental market were landlord-initiated. Process so far. What has happened so far in the process? The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment undertook a comprehensive public consultation process from August to October 2018 about reforms to the RTA. The decision document and survey set out questions about the options proposed. This process includes a series of workshops with targeted representative stakeholders, as well as a public web-based survey. Summary of submissions. Over 4,787 perspectives were received on the reform of the RTA. Of these, 50% of the submitters primarily identified as representing landlords, 41% primarily identified as representing tenants, 6% primarily identified as representing interest groups such as district health boards, 5% of the submitters primarily identified as representing public or community housing providers. What did the submitters say? A submission analysis report is available that gives quantitative insights on all the market participations, together with a quantitative analysis of nearly 100 questions that were asked. Its admissions analysis report can be found at the HUD website. There is more information below about some of the broad themes from the submissions. Topic: security of tenure. Broad themes from submissions. Renters were strongly in favour of rebalancing tenancy laws, so decisions around whether to stay or leave a property are largely in the hands of the tenant, not the landlord. Renters expressed concern about the costs of moving and perceived lack of fairness in decision making. Landlords and property makers were concerned to keep flexible for the landlord to landlords and property managers were concerned to keep flexibility for the landlord to terminate tenancies, for example, around no-clause tenancies to offer vacant possession of a house is being sold. Fixed-term tenancies. 88% of landlords and 49% of tenants did not think that the government should investigate further removing fixed-term tenancies from the market. However, some tenants noticed that while fixed-term agreements can provide certainty and security, being committed to a fixed-term tenancy can sometimes be problematic financially and otherwise if circumstances change. Topic: compliance and enforcement. Themes. Tenants fear retaliation from landlords. Tenants also fear being blacklisted if they were to take a case to the tribunal. For example, Tenants Advocate Network, TAN, raised issues about the adverse effects of the tenants' names being published in tribunal decisions. TAN proposed that all decisions be anonymised. Some of the submitters sought regulation of property managers and licensing of landlords. Landlords noticed that the tribunal does not work well for them. They told us that often awards are not enforceable or collectible. Landlords suggested that if there were additional regulation, fines or audits applicable to landlords, then the same should be applied to tenants. Regulators' powers. All groups of respondents considered that the regulators should have greater powers. Many submitted and made observations that are not within the scope of the RTA to work on enforcement. For example, commenting that the tribunal is too slow and that the process can be stressful and that it's biased towards tenants. Minor fittings described as modifications. Landlords were of the view that the context of a particular tenancy, property and modification were key when a modification was requested. Clear and good faith communication was important. Landlords were primarily concerned about the damage and costs that could result from installation and reversal of a modification. Tenants told us that the ability to make minor and reasonable modification is strongly related to their ability to feel at home in a property. Safety. Both tenants and landlords were concerned about safety. Modifications could be important for tenants' ability to make their property safe. For example, when baby-proofing or earthquake-proofing was needed, landlords were concerned that safety could be compromised if a modification was made or reversed in a substandard manner. Modifications could affect the structural integrity of the building were a particular concern. The framing and language used during the consulting process may have given the impression that more major kinds of changes were intended. This may have led to higher levels of concern than there may otherwise have been. Rent increases. There is strong support for rent increases to be limited to once every 12 months. 69% of all respondents supported the suggested change. 74% of the tenants, 63% of the landlords, 69% of property managers and 55% of social housing providers supported the proposal. Many landlords and tenants noticed that increasing the rents annually is the current common practice, therefore they did not have a problem with the suggested change. Many respondents supported limiting the rent increases to once every 12 months in order to align with how wages are traditionally increased. Rental bidding. 55% of respondents considered rental bidding should be banned, 11% thought it should be controlled, while 34% thought nothing should be done about it. The majority of landlords thought that nothing ought to be done about rental bidding, while a majority of tenants and property managers thought that rental bidding should be banned or controlled. Tenants who indicated that they did not support any sort of control on rental bidding commented that the rental bidding provide an option for special cases to show their need for a property, such as having pets or proximity to schools or employment. Having improving information provided to tenants. In the Healthy Homes consultation process, tenants and tenant advocacy groups overall felt strongly about the needs to strengthen tenants' ability to enforce their rights under the RTA. Many tenants suggested the Healthy Home standards could be more accessible if landlords were required to retain relevant documents to demonstrate compliance with the Healthy Home regulations. Landlords were generally less willing to impose such an additional administrative obligations under the regulations. However, they also valued clear compliance and information and enforcement procedures. Pets and rental properties. The topic of pets attracted particularly high levels of interest during the consultation process. Landlords thought that decisions around allowing pets should be at their discretion. They were concerned about the damage that pets can do to a rental property, the cost of remedying the damage, and whether the tenants will be held liable. They supported introducing a pet bond. 83% of landlords considered that landlords should be able to also decline pet requests without giving reasons. Tenants thought that pet ownership should not be a privilege reserved for homeowners. They noticed that pets can have positive impacts on well-being. Tenants that have or want to get pets find it very difficult to secure appropriate rental properties. 72% of tenants consider that landlords should not be able to decline pet reasons without giving reasons. Proposed reforms to improve security of tenure. Why the reforms are improving the security of tenure. Although most people living in rented accommodation for longer in New Zealand, the medium tenancy is only 12 months. The 2008 General Social Survey found that 25% of tenants who have moved in the last 5 years did so because their landlord ended the tenancy. Insecure tenure can have negative impacts on health, education and employment outcomes. For example, people who move more often are less likely to have a primary healthcare provider. How do the reforms improve security of tenure? Security of tenure will be improved in two ways. Periodic tenancy agreements will no longer be able to be terminated by the landlord for any reason and without a requirement to tell a tenant why. Instead, landlords will be able to end these agreements for a range of fair and justified reasons, including the tenant's antisocial behaviour. This means that tenants will always know why their tenancy is ending and have the ability to challenge this at the tenancy tribunal if they consider their landlord has not followed due process. Fixed-term tenancy agreements will not end at the end of the initial term unless specified on for grounds for this have been met. For instance, a landlord needs to sell a house or the tenant has breached their obligations. If these grounds don't apply, fixed-term agreements must become periodic agreements unless both the tenant and the landlord agree otherwise. This means tenancies will not end just because parties cannot accommodate a further fixed-term agreement. What are the reasons that a landlord can end a tenancy? The reasons ensure that landlords are not able to terminate tenancies where there is no legitimate reason to do so, or where the tenant is in breach of a tenancy agreement. The termination grounds are taken from the landlord's submissions to the consultation process and setting out the grounds they considered necessary. The reasons are: the landlord intends to make the property available for sale within 90 days of the tenant leaving the property. If the property was acquired for a business other than a residential accommodation, the termination is required for the purposes of the business. The landlord intends to carry out extensive alterations or redevelopment at the property. It would be unpractical for the tenant to live there during that process. The landlord wants to change the use of the premises. The premises are to be demolished. The landlord is not the owner of the property and the landlord's interest ends. In addition, public housing providers can terminate a tenancy where the tenant is no longer eligible for public housing, or the property is no longer funded as a public housing place. The tenant needs to be transferred to a different public housing property that is considered to be better a match to their needs, the public housing provider's business requirements, or the needs of the community. There is an existing ground to terminate tenancy if the landlord and a family member intends to use the property as their main residence. The reform amends this on the grounds that the landlord or family must intend to live there for at least 3 months. In submission, some tenants have indicated that they have been given notice under this clause and found the rental property advertised for a higher rental. In addition, a landlord can apply to the tenancy tribunal to end a tenancy. The tenancy tribunal can end a tenancy where on balance the tenancy tribunal considers that the landlord's application to end the tenancy is fair, taking into account the impact on the tenant. What proposed changes are being made to notice period for periodic tenancies? The termination provisions provided through the reform will be the subject of the 90 days notice. This isn't intended to provide more time for tenants to find alternative accommodation that works for them if their tenancy ends. Provisions to end the tenancy are currently subject to 42 days notice and will increase to either 63 or 90 days notice. The period for 63 days when the landlord gives notice because they or their family member requires property to live in, the property is needed for an employee, and this was foreshadowed in the tenancy agreement. 90-day notice is required for the existing termination ground, or if the property has been sold with a requirement by the owner for vacant possession. This aligns with the notice period with the new termination ground that the landlord intends to make the property available for sale. Keeping up the notice period the same for the sale-related termination grounds keeps things simple for both landlords and tenants. The notice a tenant must give a landlord when terminating periodic tenancy will increase from 21 to 28 days. How will that landlord's end tenancies for antisocial behaviour? When the tenant is on a periodic tenancy agreement is acting in a way that is called harassment, alarm or distress to a third party, a landlord will be able to issue that tenant with a notice to stop the behaviour. If the landlord has issued the tenant 3 notices for 3 antisocial acts in any 90-day period, they may apply to the tenancy tribunal for termination. If the tribunal considers the notices were issued fairly and reasonably, they must make an order terminating the tenancy. Guidance will be developed to have both parties understand what specific acts of antisocial behaviour will come under this new system. What can landlords do if tenants are repeatedly late with rent payments? If a tenant has been at least 5 days late with a rental payment, the landlord can issue a notice advising the tenant that the rent is late. If the landlord has issued the tenant 3 notices for separate late payments in a 90-day period, they may apply to the tenancy tribunal to end the tenancy. If the tribunal considers notices were issued reasonably and fairly, the tribunal may make an order terminating the tenancy.